You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is about the art of better living, the art of attitude, and since this week is Valentine's Day week, the art of love. And who better to join us this week than the love doctor herself, Dr. Terry Orbach. Dr. Orbach is an internationally recognized author, speaker, therapist, professor at Oakland University, and a research professor at the University of Michigan. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
We always hear, and I know I feel strongly, that love is the most important thing in life, but let's begin with, how would you define love?
Well, there are two kinds of love, I think. The first is passionate love, which is the love of arousal and desire, that lust, that love that occurs at the beginning of a romantic relationship. But passionate love inevitably declines, and it declines after about 12 to 18 months. And then we have our second kind of love, which is companionate love. And companionate love is the love of friendship and support and intimacy. And that's the love that really keeps long-term romantic relationships together.
Why do I find it sad that you can quantify exactly when the first part ends?
I know. Well, you know, love is a topic, you know, for a lot of research studies. And we know, I've been following the same couples now for over three decades. And we can ask them when, you know, the excitement and the desire declines. And we know it's about 12 or 18 months.
As romantic as I like to think I am and falling in love, I think falling in love just happens. There's no fighting it. It's meant to be. But can you choose when you want to be in love?
Well, first, Lisa, I should say that I think we all deserve and need love. And when we have love, we feel better psychologically and physically. And there's a lot of great research to support that. Yes, I think we can fall in love, so to speak, but there are certain circumstances or situations, or if we're ready for it, or we happen to find someone who's similar to us, that it occurs, or it's more likely to occur. But I think the important thing is that you can fall in love, but it takes consistent work or actions to stay in love. And that's the hard part. I think it's easier to fall in love, although things might be there, but you need to do a little bit of work to stay in love.
One of my biggest issues is people not taking each other for granted. That sounds like what I'm hearing you say is important.
Absolutely. I think we all have this biological need to be noticed, cared for, and not taken for granted. And in my long-term study where I've been following these couples, one of the most important things that spouses said is that if I'm happy, that means that my spouse doesn't take me for granted. And so we really need, Lisa, to recognize our partner almost every single day. We need to say something or do something so that our partner knows that we're not taking them for granted. Because I think what happens is that at the beginning, love, that passionate love is high, but then life gets busy. We work, we have children, we want to exercise, eat well, volunteer in our communities, and we put our relationship, our romantic relationship, on the back burner. And we think that, you know, when things settle down, we'll get back to it. And then we don't pay attention to it, and our partner feels like we are taking them for granted.
Is it really that difficult to keep up with something like that?
I don't think it's difficult. I don't think a happy relationship long-term takes hard work, but it does take consistent work so that when you wake up, you say, I love you, or you're my best friend, or thank you for doing that. Or when you wake up, you do a small act for your partner. You turn on the coffee pot because, like me, you need your caffeine in the morning. Or you send a greeting card or a text during the day. Just something simple, Lisa, will show your partner that you don't take them for granted.
You hear a lot about love language. Is that important for you to know about yourself, be self-aware about, and something to express to a partner?
Yes, I think we all have a different way of expressing love and talking to our partner. We need to be aware how we talk and what we feel comfortable in saying and doing. But then even more important, we need to know what our partner is good at. Sometimes people are good at showing that they care and that they notice us through actions. And sometimes they're good at showing and then they care about us and they notice us through words. And we have to tell our partner, this is what I need and this is how I do it, and then listen to our partner in kind.
Talking to the love doctor, Dr. Terry Auerbach, for a special Valentine's Day edition of Art and Soul. How important is self-love? Is that something that you research or think about and talk about in your, it seems like a mostly couples-oriented love doctoring?
I actually talk about all kinds of love, Lisa. Love for friends and parents and children, but also for yourself. I think a good romantic relationship, a good parent-child relationship, a good friendship starts with love for yourself. You need to know yourself. You need to know your key life values. You need to be able to let go of all that emotional baggage. And I know that's a term that people throw around, but if we are strongly connected emotionally to the past, either strongly positively or negatively, we can't be fully present to be a good parent, to be a good romantic partner, to be a good friend. And we need to love ourselves. We need to know our strengths so that when we do meet someone, we show those strengths and we feel confident about ourselves.
There are some people who say, though, that if you don't love yourself, no one else is going to be able to love you.
I agree. I really do, because then we come to a relationship where we're not sure. Why should anyone feel good about us if we don't feel good about us? Also, we know that jealousy and lack of trust is an outcome of not loving yourself or not feeling good about yourself. It has nothing to do with that other person. It has to do with you and how good you feel about yourself.
Do you think some people are wired to be more loving?
It's a good question. I think the wiring does occur, but it is activated by the social environment, by your childhood, by what happened when you were growing up. So I think it is somewhat biology, but even more so, and I'm a social scientist, I need to say that, Lisa, it's more likely that that biology is activated once we grow up in a loving environment. We watch our parents touch and show affection. We watch our parents deal with conflict effectively. We watch our parents talk to one another, and then parents or adults in our childhood, and then we are more likely then to do that with other people.
She's a social scientist at the University of Michigan, in fact, Dr. Terry Auerbach. A lot of books and programs that we can follow. We'll put those all on our website, wemu.org. I've loved talking to you today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa.